The Bible reads in the 7th chapter of St. Luke. You've heard verses 36 through 40. Let us, if you will, read 41 through 47. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman have anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Supporting scripture, very familiar passage, John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that if we believe, we should have everlasting life. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Based on those verses, we use a thought or subject this morning. What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? We know that this is Black History Month. It's Heart Disease Awareness Month. It's Valentine's Day Month. It's the month of love. Sharing and caring for one another. So let us start with a positive mindset and refuse to allow anything to steal our joy. Don't you know the enemy want to steal your joy? How many of you feel better now than you felt when you were on your way to church? But I come to tell you that the enemy want to steal that joy. He want to take everything that you just got. He want to take it all back and make you leave miserable. But how many of you want to tell the devil he's a lie this morning? That this good feeling I got, I'm going to take it home with me. This good feeling I got, I'm going to let it just overflow so that somebody else might be able to just see how good God is. Anybody ever gone through some things and you just want the enemy to know that I don't care how many times you throw a rock up against me, I'm going to still come out standing. I'm going to still come out smiling. I'm going to come out victorious because victory's name is Jesus. So I kind of feel like preaching too this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because I know the Lord has been good to me. Hallelujah. When we think about all of those that have sacrificed their lives and have given their lives so that we would have the right to be in here this morning. Think about those that have died and gone on that would maybe like to be here, but then those that have already gone, if they were believers, they don't want to come back here. They are beginning to say, I thank God that he allowed me to stay there when I was, but I don't want to go back to that mess. Thank God for deliverance. And then even in that, it does not make us homesick, does it? We still trying to hold on and hold out. Somebody said to see what the end is going to be. I believe this morning that we should be proud of whom we are. And if you are a child of God, if you are African-American, Black, Negro, whoever you might want to call yourself, you ought to have a mindset that every day of the year is a day that you ought to be proud. You don't have to limit yourself to 28 or 29 days of the year. You have to be proud of who you are and your heritage every day. Even the Lord God himself in the word of God says that every day is a day of thanksgiving. So we must be thankful. We must praise God from whom all blessings flow. And we must realize that we as a people, we had a lot to do with shaping the nation as it is. Our creativity and all of our hard work, it has not been in vain. As we reflect back on our history, there are many that have gone through a lot of pain and suffering. But at the same time, we also see strength and integrity. We have been taught to be proud and appreciative for what things that we have. And many of us can say that the Lord has brought us a long way. For most of us, we found that life wasn't a handout because we were taught and we were instructed as children that if you want something, you got to work hard for it. And now that we are living in a new modern technology time, we find that with education and with modern technology, if you get in the right place at the right time, you don't have to work hard. You just have to find something to do. And there are things that would allow you to live the type of life that you want to live. Life is not to be lived in a way to where you're always suffering and always complaining and always wondering about the Joneses. Don't you know that you are somebody yourself? You might not have or possess what the Joneses have, but thank God for what you do have. Because there might be something that you have that's more important to you or more important to other individuals than that the Joneses have. A lot of times we feast or we look at the Joneses because of materialistic things. But when you got some good solid things down on the inside, when you got a foundation that have grounded you to a point to where you know that I don't care what I got to go through, I'm going to serve God anyhow. Anybody know how to have an anyhow praise? We got to understand that this is the time as a people that we must celebrate and we must thank God. And we use this month as a reflection to reflect back on those that have already gone before us, just to remind some and to educate some of the things that our people have done. There are a lot of our children that don't know that we had a lot to contribute to the things that goes on in the world. Not only is it Black History Month, but it's also Heart Disease Awareness Month. And we too know that many of us, most of us in here, has somebody in our family that have died from heart disease. And many of us are at risk of heart disease. And then there are those that may not be at risk, but you never know what's going to happen. So it is very important that we take heed, that we begin to watch ourselves, that we begin to try to live a more healthy lifestyle. It becomes a time to where you got to take care of yourself. You don't try to take care of yourself and your body begins to fall down. If you don't have anything that you can lean on, you don't have anything to give you some hope and to encourage you that it's going to get better than what it is. Because I found out that I don't care how holy and sanctified you are. I don't care what kind of job you have, where you live. Sickness and death comes to all of us. Trouble comes to all of us. Heartache comes to all of us. And you're not exempt because you can get up and testify that you're saved. You're not exempt because you can say how long you've been on the Lord's side. A whole lot of folk been on the Lord's side a long time. And a whole lot of folk that was on the Lord's side when they suffered and they went through. And a lot of them didn't realize what a blessing it was to be a child of the Almighty King. Most of us got to understand that you are not exempt from trouble and heartache. As we also celebrate what we call Valentine's Day, let us make it all conclusive just in case there are some of us that may not have a significant other. Maybe there are some of us that doesn't have a husband or a wife, a lover or a friend, but we are taught by the word of God. Love ye one another as I have loved you. Therefore, love ye one another. So we are obligated, we are commanded, by God himself to love one another. And this is a love that we got to have, this unconditional. It's a love that does not have strings attached. It's a love that we can always depend on. I heard somebody say that love makes the world go round. Love is one of the most powerful forces in the world. Small little word, but it can cause a lot of havoc. Love is something that can make you flip backwards when you don't even realize what's going on. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? There are those of us that thought we knew what love was all about, and all we were doing was lusting and looking, but we found out that real love got some staying power. But when you're just going through the motion and you don't have real unconditional love, you're just going through some mess. Anybody ever went through something and thought it was love? You told somebody, I love you, and you found out that that love didn't last not very long. Anybody ever found out that love would be there whenever everybody else turned their back? The Bible declared that love covers a multitude of sin. But we got to have conditional love. I love you if you love me back. I love you, Judy, if you treat me right. I love you if you bend over backwards when I tell you to bend over backwards. But what about when they stand firm? Say, I'm not bending today. Today is not a bending day. Are you going to love them when they talk back to you? Are you going to love them when they don't do exactly what they say? Some of us told that lie, I love you till I die. And you're still walking around here loving somebody else. What's love got to do with it? Anybody in here know anything about love? Love has a tendency to take you out of your comfort zone, cause you to go through all kinds of changes. Somebody in here called herself in love, couldn't sleep last night. Everybody talks love, but how many of you really understand and know what love is? When you hear the question that we asked in our theme this morning, what's love got to do with it? My answer to you this morning is love got everything to do with it. If it wasn't for love, where would you be this morning? Most of us, most of our adult minds, and I got a little tickled when God gave me this because I was just Ike last week. And then I got to thinking about Tina, and when we began to think about what love got to do with it, we think about Tina Turner, and Tina got to a place where she was tired of getting beat upside the head. Tina got to a place where, Ike, you got to move on. I'm going to have to go on and find me somebody else. I got to find another way of going. So when Tina got out of that messed up, abusive relationship, Tina came out and stood on her own ground and said, what love got to do with it? I can make it without Ike, but you can't make it without Jesus. There's somebody in your life you can make it without, but there is somebody else that want to be a part of your life that you can't make it without him. Do you love him this morning? Do you really know what love is really all about? We understand when we talk about love, it's more than a feeling of affection. Love should be concern or devotion toward another person. Love is also defined as the high esteem that God has for his human children. And at the same token, the same authority that we're supposed to have for one another. Love. The Lord said, love ye one another. We just don't want to love right. If you need a better explanation, what the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, meaning love, I am becoming sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. In other words, you're just talking a lot of noise, saying nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. I don't care what you are able to do. I don't care what you boast about you've already done. If it was not out of love, you've done nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, and have not love, I have not profit anything. Love suffereth long in its kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love don't get puffed up and mad at you all the time. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Love ain't going to sit there and begin to think of how I'm going to get you in a trap. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Bible declared that the truth should make you free. But a lot of times we found that in our love relationships, in our love talk, we say one thing, but we mean something else. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Love can endure. Real love, what I'm talking about, can endure when you don't get along. Real love can endure when the bills are not all paid, but you done paid out all that you got. But you love one enough to say, we're going to hang in here until God work it out. That's what love will do for you. Love never faileth. Prophecies, they're going to fail. Tongues, they are going to cease. Knowledge is going to vanish away. Those things that we knew in prophecy, in part, we shall know in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is going to be done away. Now, when you talk that love as a young man, the Bible declared that when I was a child, I speak as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So men, if you don't love her, don't say you love her. I just like you a lot. The Bible declares, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now about it, faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love is the strongest force in the universe. Love is something that you can always depend on. Love is something that we know that if we had anything in life that we wanted to do, it ought to be done out of love. We realize when we read these verses that love, because faith will become sight, hope will be fulfilled, and love is the only thing that's going to remain as it is. Love is unchanging. Love will bring you down to your knees. Love will make you realize that it's not all about you, but it's about somebody by the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. When we look at our text this morning, there was a Pharisee by the name of Simon. And this particular man invited Jesus to dinner. The Bible declared that the Pharisee desired him to come in and eat with him. And as he sat down to eat, that a woman from the city who was a sinner came in. And she sat there. She brought in with her an alabaster box. In this box, it was full of ornament, good smelling ornament. And the Bible declared that she stood at the feet behind Jesus. As she stood back there, she was weeping, and she began to wipe his feet with her tears. Then she took her long, beautiful hair, and she began to wipe down his feet. She anointed them with the ornament. The Pharisee that had invited Jesus to dinner, when he saw it, the Bible said he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. Think about it for a moment. You've invited somebody to dinner. And because they are not carrying themselves in the way that you think that they ought, you began to have some hidden thoughts in your mind. When I read this and it says that, as she stood there, and as the Pharisee bidded him and saw it, that he spake within himself, saying, this man. And let me bring it home to the way that we might say it. This man's supposed to be a preacher. And this supposed to be preacher sitting down in here eating with these sinners and everybody else. And here this prostitute comes. And she has the audacity to put her hands on the man of God. And he hadn't said a word. What kind of preacher is this? That's the story that you see. So now, what we got to understand that in that day and in that custom when you were invited to dinner, first of all, if you were the host, when somebody came in because of the desert, because of the hotness, because of the dirt on your feet, you showed your hospitality by washing their feet. It was a custom, whether it was man or woman, for them to greet them with a kiss. And this was to let them know that you are welcome into my house, and I want to let you know that I'm going to do all that I can to please you while you are here. Well, now they even anointed them with oil, but this particular man didn't do any of that. It's amazing how we can see everything what somebody ought to do, but we didn't see what we should have done in the first place. Had he had been taking care of his own business, then maybe the woman wouldn't even been able to get to Jesus. Now look at this picture. Jesus is laying there on the floor with his head toward the table because that was the way that they ate. So now she went down up under the table like we know of. You know how we sit in the chair and kick our feet up under the table and you might kick the person across the table. They didn't eat like that. They sat down and they laid down flat and they ate the food. And then the Bible declared that this woman came in and this woman, she had to have long, beautiful hair. How can you wipe somebody's feet off with your hair if you don't have no hat? So the woman came in. Now, let us look at this woman. The Bible declared that the woman was a sinner. But now, when you've been a sinner, and you know God has been good to you, it doesn't matter what your neighbor think about what you do. You see, sometimes when folk begin to praise God, and those of you that don't know their story, you begin to point the finger and say, she ought to sit down somewhere. But unless you walked in that woman's shoes, you don't know what that woman had to go through to get there to Jesus. So now this woman realized that this is the man that made everything all right for me. So now that I see him, I'm going to bow down, and I just can't help but to cry because he's been so good to me. I love him with all of my heart. I got to do what I can do. I don't have a whole lot of money, but I got an alabaster box. And in this alabaster box, I got some ornament. Now, I could get a little money for it, but I'm going to use it for the good. She went down on her knee. She began to wipe his feet. Her tears streaming down her eye. And the tears run down her eye, they wash his feet. Then the man of God, said, I want to know, what kind of preacher are you? The sinner want to get her hands on you, and you haven't said a word. But Jesus said, Simon, let me tell you something. Do you hear what I say? He said, Master, say on. In other words, tell me what you got to say. The Bible said, Jesus said there were two creditors. Both of them owed the man some money. One of them owed them 500. The other didn't owe but 50. Now, when you owe God a lot, you are more thankful for what God has done. But when you think you got all the things under control, you know some of us are self-righteous. Some of us don't do anything wrong. Some of us don't know about wrong. We know what everybody else do. But we don't know nothing about what we do. But the Bible declared that he began to look at this woman. And he began to tell the man, I came into your house and you didn't treat me like you were supposed to treat me. But ever since this woman came in, she's been crying her eyes out. She's been kissing my feet. She's been anointing my feet. You didn't do none of that stuff. But I found out that because the woman had a lot of sin, she had a whole lot of love. I come to tell somebody that that's what love got to do with it. All you got to do is think about what the Lord God has done in your life. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that the Lord has done, I can't help but cry out. But I want to know, I somebody tell somebody what love got to do with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love got everything to do with it. Love lifted me. Love made a way out of nowhere. Love put me across deep water. Love got me up off the bed of affliction. Love is all that I need. The love of Jesus will make a difference in your life. You don't have to ask nobody what love got to do with it. Love has everything to do with it. Because God himself is love. And he loved us so much. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why he died. Because of love. He loved us so much. And then we ought to have the same kind of love as this woman. Realize that I am a sinner, but I know who been good to me. I done something wrong, but I know who picked me up when I couldn't get up all by myself. And I know this Pharisee don't understand why I take the ornament out of my box and put it on this man's feet. But you don't know what this man has done for me. This man has brought me a long way. This man picked me up when nobody else cared. This man wiped the tears from my eyes when I was laying there all night. Lord, anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody had the love of Jesus when everybody else shook their head and said, I'm going on about my business. The Lord God reached down his hand, said, take me by the hand. I'll take you up out of your mess. I'll turn you around and I'll make everything all right. What's love got to do with it? Love got everything to do with it, because it was God's love. God's love that went to Calvary and died. It was God's love that got up out of that grave and walked with all power. What's love got to do with it? Hallelujah, Jesus. If you don't know the love of Jesus, you just don't know how blessed you really are. There's something about that love. Ooh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I think about him loving us so much. Hallelujah. There was nobody else that was worthy or in a position to save us from our sin, sick souls. But the Bible declares that God so loved this world that he gave his only son. That if we believe, hallelujah, all we got to do is believe. By grace are you saved. Not anything that you've done on your own. Not your faith walk. Not what you don't do anymore. But it's by the grace of a merciful, loving, compassionate God. And why does he have such grace and mercy for us? Because he loves us. Love. That's what we are founded upon. That's the foundation of which we stand on Christ. The solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Is there one this morning that would just like to experience the real love of Jesus? When we say love God with your all in all, it doesn't mean that you got to shout like nobody else shout. You don't have to scream and holler like nobody. But you ought to have something moving down on the inside, letting yourself know that I'm still in touch, I'm in contact with the power of a higher being. And that higher being is God himself.